Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Good day, everybody. It is Becky Brown, and I am not Steve Arterburn, nor do I claim to be, but we miss him.
You're not?
And we are... No, I'm not, but I'm joined by Dr. Dave Stoop, and eventually Jill Hubbard will join us as well, and
Jill's
we want
here.
You to call us with your questions, 1-800-229-3000. Good to see you, Jill. You're right there. And, you know, this is the... We're at the halfway point. Today, it is January 21st, and by now, all of you who had said, you know, 21 days makes or breaks a habit, you're into the turning point. I don't know if you've been successful in it, but we're here to help. So if there's anything that you want to make happen in your life for 2020 to have a transformation, we've got resources. And one of the most incredible things that we've done recently, Dave and Steve have worked on the Life Recovery Workbooks. One on grief, one on eating disorders, sexual integrity, and divorce. And it's just such an incredible tool for so many people. Dave, how did you guys come up with the topics?
Well, we really are talking about the 12 steps being for everyone. And that means all kinds of issues. We've got some more that we're going to work on as well. But grief and eating disorders, sexual integrity, and divorce are probably the more common type things that we get asked about, and they have groups on them. So now they've got a group resource that's going to be 12-step oriented and be very powerful.
Definitely very powerful. You're right. Those are big issues, and when people get entrenched in those, they really need a way out.
Yeah,
I think the one thing I love so much about the message is that life recovery is for everybody. And like you just said, Jill, these are some of the common places that people get stuck, mm-hmm. but there is freedom available. I was really excited about the grief recovery workbook because grief is something that everybody will experience at some point or another, and hopefully you won't get stuck there. But maybe that is something that, you know, you're challenged with, and, you know, we can help you with that. These workbooks are just foundational to some of the transformation that you may need to go through. But, you know, Dave, so as you look forward, what's another one that you think that might be around the corner life recovery?
I think right around the corner is the one on codependency.
My goodness.
And our book, Take Your Life Back, was really about codependency. Mm-hmm. But I think a workbook... everybody is codependent to some degree. Mm-hmm. Even the alcoholic, mm-hmm. once they deal with the alcoholism.
Oh, absolutely.
Now
they're
dealing with the codependency.
It's
called codependent. So there's a codependency about the issues between the enabler and the person who's the abuser.
So who can you describe what someone who's dealing with codependency would be doing or their behavior?
Well, the definition I've always liked is that when they go down for the third time and they're drowning, somebody else's life passes before them.
Yes.
They live so through true. Other people and they don't have a life of their own. Mm. And resent it, but don't do anything about it.
That's so powerful. So maybe you're dealing with codependency today. Listeners, you might need to give us a call. And we can help you with that. Give us a call at 800-229-3000. And thanks for all you who are joining us on Facebook Live, too. Give a big shout out. Share the live stream with your friends so that they can find New Life as well. And it may make the difference in everything about their lives, their family. And we're here to help. We want to talk to you, so give us a call, 1-800-229-3000, and we will be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hello, welcome back. This is Becky Brown, joined with Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And we are taking your calls today. You can call us at 800-229-3000. And we are going to talk to Deb. And let me see if I can make that. Hey, Deb, this is Becky Brown. We're so glad you're with us today. How can we help you?
Well, thank you. I was listening on the radio, and I really started thinking about my husband, who's really struggling with, I think it's grief, because he's had huge back pain and back surgeries and not able to do the things. Can't go camping, can't go hiking, really beginning to feel a real sense of loss. And I thought if you had any ideas on how I might be helpful to him, well, I'd appreciate it.
Well, let's start with the workbook, Deb, and get that workbook and get him to start a grief group. Those kind of losses are hard to grieve because we don't really think of grieving losses of activity and opportunities. But those are just as important to grieve as the loss of a person.
Right, because that's what our life revolves around.
Right.
Right? The people in our world and then what we do and how we spend our time. And, you know, you kind of are set up to look forward to kind of the later years where you get to do whatever you want. And then when you can't, when you're straddled with physical pain, how do you deal with that? That is a hard one. And so, Deb, a lot of people in his position get depressed. Right? So that's...
And he is. That's true.
Yeah, he is. And is he aware that he is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he is. And, you know, and he's worried about, you know, the impact on me because, I mean, I just retired and our goal was to do a lot of traveling and camping.
Right.
And, you know, he's beginning to see that that's not likely to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not, you know.
So you guys are talking about it.
We are.
Good.
We are talking. We are praying.
Mm-hmm.
But I just was thinking, you know, when I was listening to you on the radio, I thought for the first time, I thought, this truly is a kind of a grief feeling, and I hadn't thought about it that way.
Yeah. It would be great for you guys to go through the workbook together.
To do it together and maybe even open it up after you've done it once, to do it again and invite others.
Yeah, to reach out to maybe others that you start to notice are maybe in similar positions of either losing loved ones or having a change of life that was unexpected, that you didn't plan for.
Yeah, it's pretty insightful on your part, Deb, that you recognize this as grief. And, you know, we talk so many times about grief, and yet people sometimes think that it is just connected to the loss of a person. And grief comes in all shapes and sizes. And so as you describe this loss that he's experienced, and then ultimately you are also experiencing, it's a real thing. And, you know, it would be a great, great idea, Dave, for them to go through that together.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then as you're, you know, grieving and talking about the losses and how that feels, then adding in, you know, it's like you have to create a new normal, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of the whole focus being on what we can't do, it's what, okay, in this unexpectedness, what do we add in that we can do?
Yeah.
Right?
And I think that's real important to think about.
Right.
How do
but you're doing both.
Connected and how do we you know, continue to grow? And
right. And what does God have for you in this stage? You know, what can you then, like in bringing others in after you guys go through a phase? So it's not like some people say, oh, you just focus on the positive. No, it's not ignoring the grief that you're going through. But simultaneously, or as you kind of progress through it, you start to then add in, okay, what does our new normal look like, and what do we have to look forward to? It's really important that he has some things to look forward to.
Yeah, there's a protest that in processing grief. There's a protest which involves anger, and there's a sadness and resignation, which involves sadness. And you got to do both of those kind of things before you really come to a place of acceptance. And then you have a clear field to decide how you can compensate for the loss that you've experienced and what you can do instead.
It's pretty amazing when you think about the fact that you would not necessarily think about the life recovery or the 12 steps being helpful in grief recovery, but it absolutely is. Absolutely. And it gives you a structure. And I think, Deb, you're not the only one. Obviously, everyone will experience grief. We may not identify it. We may just live with the effects of it. But it's great to identify those places of loss in our lives and to get some acceptance so that we can move forward in a way that is, life-giving and transformative and all of those kind of things. But I'm so glad that you called today, and we're going to send you a copy.
I appreciate your help.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for listening out there in Colorado and KGFT. And we're going to send you the Life Recovery Workbook for Grief. And if any of our listeners want to have a copy of that, just give us a call at 800-NEW-LIFE. Or if you want to call us with questions, you can call 800-229-3000. Before we go to the next call, I just want to know, the two of you, Jill and Dave, I know in all the years of counseling that you have done, wouldn't you say that grief is such a unique thing that everybody goes through, but it affects everybody so differently?
Right.
And what would you offer somebody who's listening today that might be maybe dealing with grief?
Well, there's incomplete grieving, where I only do one facet. I do the angry part or I do the sad part. And people get stuck in grieving. And if you get stuck in grieving, what you'll end up with, as Jill said earlier, is you'll end up with depression. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times depression is a failure to grieve some major loss in my life. That when I grieve it finally and grieve it completely, the depression lifts.
I think people get afraid of it, right? And we get afraid of the emotions that are least comfortable for us. For some people, it's anger. For other people, it's sadness, right?
Mm-hmm. And a man can't cry about this kind of thing.
Right, so they get angry.
And that's as far as they go with it. And then they're stuck in the in the depression and the grieving. And rounding out the experience releases the emotions to deal with other things.
Right.
That's great.
And it doesn't mean that you won't ever feel sad about this again, the loss, right? It's not an erasing of the feelings, but it's over time, kind of the emotional, punch is taken out of it.
And there's an acceptance.
An acceptance of the reality.
Mm-hmm. It is a process. Oh, man, thanks for that. We're going to go to Andrea, who's calling us from Dallas, and she's listening to KWRD, a great station in Texas. Andrea, how can we help you today?
Yes, I'm thinking about going no contact with my mother because I feel isolated. I feel like I'm a scapegoat. And I just don't know what to do. It just causes me lots of anxiety to talk with her right now.
Mm. How long has this been a part of your relationship with your mom?
Well, the last 2 years, I think it was last year, I had to move back home. And I started to experience things and see some things that probably have been going on for quite some time. I just never noticed. But it's a pronounced now because I'm observing some things. And it just causes me lots of anxiety. Once again, I feel isolated. Everything goes through her. All family relationships go through her, so she's able to filter out, and then she just told me, I don't think like that. There's something wrong with you.
So what you're saying is that since you've been home, you recognize that there's a power play going on with your mom. and it's disturbing to the family and destructive to you, and you're wondering what the next step is. Are you able to move out?
Yeah.
And yeah, are you living in your mother's home, Andrea, or do you mean you just moved back to your hometown?
Actually, I fled just for sanity, so I'm not there anymore. It's almost been a year since I've been here in Dallas.
Okay, so you
but
moved.
I had to, yeah.
Okay.
And so I'm still trying to have a relationship with her, and just by phone. And it's just very disconcerning because she'll say, you know, I don't feel that way. I'm sorry you feel that way. Something must be wrong with you. I'll help you. It's never like, we can do this together. And so I feel a little bad about disconnecting, but I don't know if I should do that. I've tried limiting contact. That's not working well.
Okay, so you've done some kind of graduated steps before coming to this idea.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? And Andrea, do you have contact with other family members? Like, it sounds like you never get validated by your mom. And it's only
not
her reality.
All. It's only her reality.
Okay.
Me and my brother are estranged. I don't have any contact with her family. Everything is filtered through her. And I
know
I'm going through it.
It's good, Andrea, that you made the decision to separate yourself. And this is a bigger decision about, you know, how to sever ties. I think so many times in family dynamics, when we recognize that people aren't safe or are unloving, how do we navigate that? Because what we want is that connection. We want to be affirmed and loved, and we want to be part of
a
the family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so to be subject to, just really, I mean, you could even say abusive, treatment, it's hard because it's like it's your mom. So how do I cut her off? But I think there can be something in between because you don't live with her. It can be something as simple as you limit the amount of time you talk to her.
And keep limiting it, even to zero. Like, I don't think you have to make pronouncements.
Right.
I think you just keep pulling back to where you can tolerate it. And I think it's important also, especially since you're estranged from everyone in the family, Andrea, I think if you haven't done it already, some counseling would be in order so that you can have some of your perceptions looked at and validated. Right? You need somebody that's in your corner and that kind of understands the lay of the land and can help you kind of navigate this, because I don't think it's just a one-time decision that people make. I think it can change depending on where you're at, where they're at, and what's transpiring in the family.
Well, and things start going better and you think, maybe I can try again.
Right, so you need someone
walking
yourself
with
you
up.
In that.
Mm-hmm. One of the other things I would think of doing, Andrea, is disagreeing with her on some small issue and standing your ground on the disagreement. And you don't have to keep defending it. You can just say, well, that's what you're thinking. I don't think that way. And leave it at that. And sometimes that begins to build a boundary that you can develop over time.
And Andrea, can you be okay with that? Mm-hmm. With the flack that you get from that? Knowing that
Dave,
you will.
Dave, you wrote the book, Making Peace with Your Father, and I think there's so many things in that book that could be transferred
to mother.
Mother, families are really impactful in our lives. And so I don't know if that would be a good book for Andrea to have. I know it's for father, but the family dynamics, besides boundaries, that would be the other thing that I was thinking of.
Right.
Is
no,
boundaries.
I think making peace with your father would be good.
And she transfers it into the language of mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it deals with our expectations and how we deal with the fact that they're not going to be met.
Right.
That's right. if it's not one thing, it's your mother.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I just think we all have, we have room to grow. And when we start, like you said, Jill, we don't want to be quick to cut things off because then you got to hold that wall up. And you want to have a place where you can say, this is my boundary, but I'm good. I'm not, you know, in a defensive stance for the rest of my life.
Right.
And nobody wants to live like that. Give us a call.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You're here with Becky Brown and Dave Stoop and Jill Hubbard answering your questions. You can give us a call at 1-800-229-3000. And I am going to talk to you about how you can support New Life Ministries. I know Larry usually comes in and takes this segment over, but while the boss is away, it's my turn. So, you know, as part of the ministry for so long, I know how God has worked through so many of your gifts, just your support of what we do. And a couple of the testimonies that we hear, one woman in particular said, wow, you know, childhood trauma was so difficult, and she'd really benefit from going deep with a New Life counselor. And then, you know, when you recognize that it's really hard to find a counselor, we can help you find a counselor. I don't know if you knew that, but we have counselors all across the country. And it's a little bit daunting when you're in the place of need to find somebody that would be the best fit for you. And we have a great staff that will help you kind of navigate those questions that you have about finding help. You know, one of the greatest things that we get to do is help people find a new life, whether it's through Every Man's Battle, through our Intimacy and Marriage Workshop, which is coming up February 14th through 16th, and Finding Freedom, Restore. We help people find the help that they need. So you can be part of it. You could join Club New Life for as little as $30 a month, which is a dollar a day. It's cheaper than coffee. That a lot of you are spending money on. and you get the joy of knowing that you are helping someone have a great life, a changed life. And so just give us a call today, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you want to, or you can check us out at newlife.com. You can download our free app where you can donate there and listen to us as well. So with that, we'll go and do what we love to do, which is help people. And we're going to take Mary's call. Mary, hello. She's calling us from Sarasota, and she listens to us through the New Life app. How can we help you today, Mary?
Yes. 2 weeks before Christmas, my husband let me know that he loves me, but he's not in love with me. And has never desired me. And in March will be 8 years that we've been married. So I thought we had a great Christian marriage, and we made a vow, and, you know, we don't argue. We're very compatible. So I'm just kind of like scratched my head going, how did this happen? He says he feels like I'm his sister. And I'm like, you know, I know he feels intimacy is not something he's really good at, and so, you know, he's wanting to go our separate ways and remain friends, but I'm over here going, there's got to be more to this story than what you're admitting to me.
Mm-hmm. And Mary, is this first or second marriage?
This is our second marriage.
Okay.
Yes.
And do you know what happened in his first marriage to end the marriage?
Right. His first marriage, he was 19 years, and his wife was an alcoholic, and she got a boyfriend, and they, you know, said, I don't want to be married anymore. So that's...
And how much time between that relationship and yours?
4 years.
And do you know if he did any recovery work from the loss of that first marriage? And did you?
I wouldn't say, I don't think he did. I know myself, I was married 16 years the first time and single 9 years. And, you know, I told him that I honestly felt like God brought us together. We met through eHarmony, and, you know, we're just so much alike. It's refreshing. We never argue, you know, we just so much. But about 2 years into the marriage, he got a bass fishing boat, and that became like his mistress.
Mm-hmm. New wife.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I even told him, I'm like, well, I noticed that that's kind of like the only time you seem to smile is when you're fixing to take your bass boat out. And, you know, but I just feel like you have been neglecting your marriage because that's the only thing that really seemed to matter. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, he's open. He told me he will go to the men's retreat because I told him about y'all, and I've been listening to different podcasts, and he's agreed to go to that.
Well, Mary, here's what I would suggest instead of that. I think you guys need to go to the intimacy and marriage.
That's
workshop.
What I was thinking. That's coming up.
Because when people who are married say that they never fight, that always sends up an alarm for me. I don't know about you guys, but
you should disagree
fighting,
on something.
Like, one of you isn't necessary.
Right. And it shows that there's passion.
Right. Well, not fighting isn't an indication that everything's okay. So, but you're going to learn that, and you guys are going to be able to get some tools that I don't think you've had if you've been like a sibling relationship all this time. And so, you know, the fact that he's willing to go, even though he was thinking of every man's battle, I think this would be the better route for you guys to take.
There's a crisis.
Okay.
I mean, I think it'll stir some things up that you guys need to develop in relationship, whether you stay together or not.
Right.
There's some things that neither one of you, I think, are really looking at. And so it's time to dig a little deeper instead of him just drawing the conclusion that you should go your separate ways. Well,
right.
Why do that before you've done any work?
Exactly. Well, and you know, to prepare, if you guys are going, we're going to send you a copy of the How We Love book by Mylan and Kay, which will get you started in that direction. But you know, apathy is actually the opposite of love, not hate. So that's happening.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We're still taking your calls. That we is Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Dave Stoop, and myself, Becky Brown. And some of you are probably wondering, who in the world is Becky Brown? And
I, Becky Brown, you've been around for forever.
I have been, but just to clarify.
Almost as long as me, I think, and Dave.
I think so.
I know.
I get to be the director of the Counselor Network, and I help with all different kinds of things. And if you've been to a workshop besides Every Man's Battle, I have seen you there. So that's who your hosts are today. And we are wanting to help you. So you can call us to be on the show at 1-800-229-3000, or you can call us at 800-NEW-LIFE or 800-639-5433. And we have so many things, everything from resources like books or CDs. We can also connect you with a counselor in your area. Whatever it is that you are in need of, we are here to help you, and we want to help you. Right now, we are going to talk to Doug. And let me see if I can... There we go. Hi, Doug. This is New Life Live. You are with us today from WAYL in Florida. How can we help you today?
Well, I have a strange situation. My wife and I have been married 5.5 years, And it's our second marriage. I'm 59. She is 51. And for the first 4 years, we had the most wonderful storybook happy marriage. Mm-hmm. And then she had a trauma in her life in the late summer of 2018. Mm-hmm. Decided she needed to get on medical marijuana to stay calm. And it has destroyed her and our life. She has developed marijuana-induced psychosis, mm-hmm. which basically mimics paranoid schizophrenia to the T. Mm-hmm. She has been Baker-acted 4 times for a total of 63 days. One time, the psychiatrist wanted to put her in the state psychiatric hospital. She believed at various times that I was a murderer, a rapist, a child molester, et cetera, tried to have me arrested. Mm-hmm. I've had her off of it for a while, but then she got back on it recently, got Baker acted Friday night. I am absolutely sick of hearing that she has rights and I have none. I have no right to get her any help. I cannot even talk to the doctors at where she was Baker acted because I'm no longer her healthcare surrogate. They won't tell me anything. you know, and of course, Tina feels this medication helps her. I should not use the word medication. It is not medication. Our priest friend refers to it as Satan's spit. It has destroyed her heart. She seems to have no ability to love. She is incredibly harsh and critical of her own children, of me. Accusing, blaming, nonstop, all day, every day, at best. But she goes from, you know, when she's off of it for a while, she'll start getting back to normal, but then she gets back on it. It's prescribed by a doctor. The first doctor revoked her card for 6 months, but now she's got a new doctor that I'm unaware of who it is, and he's given her a new card, and she's on this stuff.
And it sounds it's so overwhelming, Doug.
Yeah.
It is so overwhelming. There's all different parts of it.
I'm angry for you, Doug.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
How can we help you? What would be your question for us?
Okay. How do I get her help? Mm.
That is the magic question, isn't it?
Give up and divorce her. Just give up and divorce her. That's everybody says that. In the church. Everybody says that. There's no hope. And I'm like, I'm to love her as Christ loved the church, sacrificing myself for her, washing her in the Word to present her spotless before the Lord. And I can't do it.
Why?
One of the hard.
Why are you no longer her advocate?
Oh, well, after the second time that she was Baker acted, she took me off because I had Baker acted her.
And when you say Baker acted,
can you explain?
Doug, are you talking about having her institutionalized using the Baker Act in Florida?
Yes. But
yes.
It's typically a 3-day, acute emergency kind of situation.
Okay. Right. Like a 51.
Just to point out that, you know, the severity of her situation is she was in there once 25 days, another time 18 days, another time 11 days. So she's not your typical... Oh, I went crazy, and they give her some meds and let her go, you know?
Well, and unfortunately, there's so many that aren't typical. There's not a really typical thing, and I think a lot of times the treatment when people are struggling with mental illness, no matter what the cause is, the loved ones can feel helpless because your rights are limited, which is, it's scary, but this is part of it, and... You know, I'm wondering, do you have any support around you other than, you know, what you're hearing from people who are saying, leave her? What have you done for your own protection?
Well, and legal support.
Yeah.
Have you found any legal, independent legal support?
Legal support. I've wasted tens of thousands of dollars on lawyers, including, you know, a divorce lawyer to fight the divorce when Tina filed. Because to prove that she was not of sound mind. Then another huge amount of money to a lawyer to try to gain custody to have her declared incompetent. And that finally that lawyer dropped the case, said the judge is no way going to do this. I had two other lawyers say they were not willing to do it because judges never take away the rights of paranoid schizophrenics. If they can rent an apartment and cook their own meals, they will not take away their rights. So they're legal to be crazy.
Okay, but a doctor is giving her medical marijuana when clearly it has induced her condition.
Yes, and I cannot find who that doctor is, and I called the state of Florida today and tried to have her card revoked, and they said the doctor has to call, you have to find him. I don't know who it is.
I think in situations where everything is out of control like this, the hardest part for you, Doug, is what is it that you want to do? Because you could spend the rest of your time trying to figure out how to help her.
My life, yeah.
Yeah, yep. And I'm hearing that. I'm hearing, you know, that resentment of how in the world did this happen when I loved her and I cared for her and this was not the expectation.
Yes.
And you even identified that she had had a trauma that maybe this could have been helpful, but it has not turned out that way. And but going back to, I think I asked this before, but I want to know, do you have people around you who hear you and you feel like they understand what the struggle is without trying to fix the situation? The reason why I ask that is because we talked about this earlier in the show. Codependency comes in all shapes and sizes, and what happens is, you know, your life gets wrapped around somebody else's, and how to determine when they are not responding to your help. And Al-Anon can be a great place, even though I know that this isn't like her, you know, she's not addicted to it. But it may be a good place for you to begin to kind of separate and. And I don't. I'm not indicating divorce. I'm just saying
separate,
there's got to be some
clarity. Healthy detachment. But Becky, she is addicted to it. She needs it to feel her normal, which isn't normal, right?
Right.
So and Doug, so I'm wondering too if you are in good standing with her kids. It sounded like they were her kids and not yours.
Okay, we both have kids.
Okay.
Her kids are afraid of her. She's threatened their lives so many times.
Gosh.
And her daughter has disappeared. Her son comes in and out of her life. He is officially the healthcare surrogate.
Okay, and do you have a good relationship with him?
I do, but what he'll do is when the going gets tough, he just disappears. When there's a decision to be made.
Well, I wonder if
there's not a lot of coping.
Yeah, I wonder if he would go to Al-Anon with you, or if any of them would, as a way to get some support. And there are different types of Al-Anon groups, and there are codependency groups, and there are...
And you know what? We have life recovery groups all over the place, so you could check with us, too. But, Dave, you were going to say something about that?
Well, that's really the only place you can go to develop a healthy detachment. That allows
to get
you
some
to
tools,
help,
right?
And
information.
Healthy What is this healthy detachment thing?
Where you're not emotionally involved to the point that you're
going crazy yourself.
Going crazy yourself, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's something that all of us could learn a little bit from.
Well, you learn what you have control over and what you don't.
That's it. We get in a cycle of reactivity and we lose our life. I think sending Doug a copy of Take Your Life Back would be a healthy start. And then, you know, if any of you are in relationships that feel so tangled like this, Al-Anon is a good start, or a life recovery group where you can begin to understand what are the triggers, how did I get here, and what do I need to do to take a step forward. And we can help you find either of those. Just give us a call, or you can call us to talk to us on the radio, 229-800-229-3000. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I I failed to mention earlier that for a gift of any amount, we will say thank you by sending you the Life Recovery Workbook for Grief. So we've been talking about it and just, you know, putting it out there. If you can help New Life, we'd love to help you with that book, which could make a big difference. And, of course, if you join Club New Life, or thank you gift for right now is a set of 4 100-day devotionals by Steve, and you can get access to our video library. And in case you're wondering what that video library is, we have hundreds of short teaching videos that are like 3 minutes or less, which is amazing because sometimes we don't have any more than 3 minutes, but we need help. So if you join Club New Life, you'll have access to that for absolutely nothing. And of course, we invite you to come to all of our workshops. You can go to newlife.com to see all the details there, but we're also, if you're planning out your vacation time for this year, maybe you would consider going on a cruise with us at the end of the year, closer to, it's September 28th. We're going on a Rhine River cruise, and it's just a great way to see the world, but also spend time together and just have fun. We're going to go to our next caller, Carol. I'm going to see if I can get that clicked. It's, you know, it's tricky sometimes, you guys. hi, Carol. She's calling us from Pennsylvania, listens to WBYN. Thanks for calling, Carol. How can we help you today?
Hi. Just sitting here listening to the people that called before me, I've realized why I'm calling.
Great.
I have a problem dealing with death. My husband died a number of years ago, and I went to counseling, Christian counseling, plus I went to a widow group that had your Mr. Audubon's book, Healing is a Choice.
Great
and
book.
It was a big help, and then I remarried 5 years ago. I'm quite happy. Of course, my life was completely changed, and it took a while to adjust to another new life, but mm-hmm. He's a wonderful man. And then my mom died Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking my husband is, I'm thinking someday this is going to happen again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we have people around us who are dying or near death. And so I just realized that I've been wanting to call you guys for a long time because I only listen to the radio in the car. So that makes it difficult. So I've actually pulled over for the past half hour, I guess.
Just I love
listening.
It.
And so well, that's why I'm calling.
Carol, we're so glad that you called mm-hmm. and that this is just the right time for you to call. I'm so sorry about the losses. You know, one of the things that we've been talking about grief today is that we all will experience it mm-hmm. and it does affect us. And, you know, Jill, Dave, what do you guys want to offer to Carol?
Well, you got to be connected to survive that. And you're anticipating the loss of the husband you've got. And somehow you got to have enough people around you that focus you back on living rather than on dying. It's a tough one to be focused on dying.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're so helpless with it. You can't really do anything to stop it if it's going to happen. But you can
get
support.
I was actually on my way to walk at the Y to get some exercise and get my mind off it.
Mm-hmm. Good yeah, for you.
That's a good step. But
I'm on the phone.
If you could walk with somebody and talk about, you don't want to die before you're dead. And you don't right. want somebody else to die before they're dead.
Well, right. You don't. In protecting yourself, it's like you're treating them as if they are gone.
Yeah,
right?
In some right. way you are. In a way to prepare yourself, sort of. And you want to live right up to the end of somebody's life and be able to celebrate it. And that means you've got to have people around you that keep you focused on the right direction. And exercise is good, but exercise with somebody that you can talk with is far better and far mm-hmm. more important.
I wonder, Carol, have you ever talked to your husband about this?
Yes. He's, he's wonderful.
Nope, oh, good.
Nobody's perfect, but I can talk to him about anything. But I get to the point where he worries when I cry, he feels so bad, he can't help me. He'll just hug me and let me cry, and I'll just tell him, oh, it's hormones, you know. I'm 71, so I'm sure there's still hormones going on. And but I just feel like I don't want to burden him all the time. And I've talked to my friends, but I don't want to burden them either. They're widowed. Some are remarried.
So some of them have...
You're not burdening them.
Yeah, some of them have gone through it. And, you know, the older we get, this is more and more the experiences that people have. And there's kind of this taboo on death. Like, somehow if we don't talk about it, we're going to keep it from happening. And there's no way to ward it off. You know, I mean, we can take the best care of ourselves and do all of those things, but there's no way to avoid the experience of it. So you do have to go through it. But Carol, I think too, with each death, you know, subsequent death, it's kind of like a snowball of all of the emotions. You kind of re-experience. And I think losing your husband, your first husband, earlier on, you know, that's a tragedy that we don't expect before one's time. But that has already happened. So it sounds like you're projecting this fear of that onto the new husband, right? That, yes, he is going to die. You can't keep him from dying. But as Dave was saying, living now and realizing, but he hasn't died yet. That experience was with your first husband.
Well, and I wonder how much of this grieving is still related to your mother.
Well, that's so recent,
That's not that long ago.
Yeah.
And you will be preoccupied with the loss of your mother, regardless of the quality of your relationship with her, just because she's your mother, and that's still going on, the grief with that, and that for you it generalizes rather than becomes more specific.
But many times too, it's compounded. Carol.
I thought as Christians we're supposed to not have, you know, this upset about people dying and going to heaven. We should be thankful that they're not suffering anymore, which I am. My husband died in my arms. I saw my mother 2 days before she died, and she was a mess. So in the beginning, I'm quite thankful, but then after a while, I fall apart.
Well, there's two different things there. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, the whole thing about, you know, Christians are supposed to be one way or the other. That's probably not accurate. It's not, you know, you know, when I think about Jesus in the garden, knowing that he is headed for the greatest sacrifice, he was fully in line with God's will, but he was crying and sweating drops of blood because of the anguish, and because he was fully human and fully God. And so our emotions are part of the process. While you can understand, you know, cognitively that they're in a better place, they're not suffering, you get all that, but man, you miss them.
You miss them being there.
Exactly. And I think that's the part that has to have the healing and the process. And, you know, you're never the same after you lose someone, but that doesn't mean you stay stuck in the place of loss. Right. And as you said, Jill, you know, as we get older, we lose more and more.
Right.
Because we don't get out of here alive.
No.
It's just part of the human experience. So trying to make peace with that is really the work that we have to do.
Mm-hmm. And when you hit the 70s, you start losing friends. When you hit the 80s, you lose even more, but you're kind of spare.
Yeah.
But death becomes kind of a...
My husband is 80, and he's lost more than I have.
Yeah.
Mm.
So thanks for calling, Carol. We're going to send you the Life Recovery Workbook for Grief. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Hang on. If you are on hold, we will get to you in the next hour. Give us a call if you need help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We are there for you. Thanks, Dave, and thanks, Jill.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.